What's up, guys? Welcome to Kinda Funny's XCU in review. That's right. We're reviewing every single X-Men movie. Every week, each week after week, leading up to nothing. A good time, I guess.
Getting closer to the Dark Phoenix. You're closer to it.
Yeah, eventually. New Mutants.
This wasn't timed.
Everybody, shut up. Nick has a joke.
It's exciting.
I'm excited. That's true. Exhilarating.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. Right. As well.
When you end the thing, you say, hey, everyone, stay excited.
He's got it.
Everybody, have an exciting day.
I know exactly what I'm going to say.
All right, cool.
A lot of people have been asking what movies are going to be in this review series.
Because what is this?
X-Men interview.
Right. Yeah. Every Thursday at 9 a.m.
Every Thursday, 9 a.m. Yeah. Right here on youtube.com/ Kinda Funny or podcast services around the globe. It's still the same podcast stream. If you aren't already subscribed, go to your podcast service and look up Kinda Funny Reviews. That's where you'll find it. It's going to be a good time for everybody. This series will include the original X-Men trilogy. Mm-hmm. It will include all three of the Wolverine spinoff movies, Origins, The Wolverine, and Logan.
Thank God.
It will include the modern trilogy, quadrilogy.
Days of Future Past. Days of Future Past.
I guess trilogy. Just trilogy. And it will include the two Deadpool movies.
When does Dark Phoenix come out?
Fuck yeah.
February.
I assume we'll do one for that as well.
We will. We will then add that to the list. Yes. We will take a break next month to do Ant-Man and the Wasp. Mm-hmm. That will be the MCU interview. And then we'll be right back here.
There it is.
Thanks for coming along with us.
Yeah, man. It's been a fun.
Especially the Engadget reporter who wrote about MCU interview and then is excited for this show.
Excited for this.
Also, shout out, I'm sorry, I don't remember his name. Shout out to the dad who wanted to embarrass his daughter and made that video of him being so excited about X-Men and then turned the camera on his daughter who was incredibly embarrassed of her father.
That's going to be all of you guys someday.
What are you talking about?
You didn't see that? It's a great video.
I mean, I literally just described what the fucking video was, Andy. Do you want to get on?
Is it Kinda Funny related?
The movie we're reviewing today. No. Is X-Men.
He just described it.
Released on July 14th, 2000.
Dude.
A whole 8 years before the MCU existed.
And boy, you can't even tell.
This is gonna be a fucking
fine one. The fucking fight scenes in this.
Dude, the beginning where it's like running through the matrix of electricity. Yeah. It's so bad.
Don't take my
directed
bit
by Bryan Singer, who also directed The Usual Suspects, X-Men, X2, Superman Returns, and Days of Future Past, and X-Men Apocalypse, as well as making a lot of really bad decisions.
Valkyrie, too. Don't forget Valkyrie.
Wait, do you not like Superman Returns?
I don't like Superman Returns. Do you?
I mean,
it's like two and a half hours and nothing. Just nothing.
Like the part where flew through fire.
Let's do the exact fucking same movie as Superman the movie.
It's bad time. And written by David Hayter, voice of Solid Snake.
Fuck yeah.
Mm-hmm.
David Hayter.
Friend of the show.
It's a weird
he
thing.
He writes?
Yeah.
He wrote.
You remember that story? He's holding it up at noon.
Yeah. Thanks for watching.
It's great.
I know. I'm certain I watched it. Because that's when me and Tim would meet up every Monday.
Every Monday.
And watch Up at Noon together.
It's true.
Up at Noon and Blowies, used to call it, right?
You blow me, I blow you.
A budget of, and this surprised me, only $75 million.
Really?
But 20 years ago, that was actually
a lot of money.
Yeah. Avengers was $220, and I understand Avengers versus X-Men, very
different. Well, also, like, that's situations. How many years apart are we talking there?
A lot. Yeah. But still, I was trying to find out what the cheapest MCU movie was, and from the glance that I did, it looks like it was The Incredible Hulk. was 150, so double.
80% of the budget was to Anna Paquin because of that fucking duck movie she was in. Remember that duck movie?
Yeah, the Canadian geese one. Yeah. Where she flew ahead of him.
Oh my god!
Man.
Right?
That was her.
What was that called? Going home?
Duck in the way.
Duck goose.
duck
the rope cut. But yeah, so the box office was $296.3 million. And with The Incredible Hulk, the worldwide box office was $263.4 million.
So this was a very good profit for Fox at the time.
So they did it, and that's why they kept doing it.
That's was unfortunate.
Yeah. So great.
But fortunate in the long run.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They hung in there, and
they did.
They kind of did something.
No, they steered it back and they crashed again.
Yeah, they just keep going like this, whatever.
Yeah.
Greg, hit us with that plot.
It's time for the plot. Everybody close your eyes. Imagine all the CG effects going through right now, right?
Oh.
Evolution. Sometimes it happens very slowly. Other times very fast. Boom, fucking digital lawnmower.
Did you
man
practice putting that on beforehand?
I gotta say, really quick, ready. If you're an audio listener, go ahead and look this up on YouTube. Yeah. I promise you it's worth it.
It's very much
so
worth
like,
it.
All right, so it's all... it's like... They talk about, you know, it's all about, like, evolution. Sometimes it's slow, sometimes every few millennia, right? Boom. Mm-hmm. And by the way, this is Charles Xavier. Spoiler. Mm-hmm. Spoilers, everybody. I'm sorry.
Oh, we're all aware.
Patrick Professor Stewart. X. Exactly. Well, we don't know that part yet. We don't know that yet.
Wheels.
Sir Pat.
At the
Sir
time, Patrick. I just knew him as Jean-Luc Picard. Mm-hmm. And that was the only context.
What's funny about this movie, before we go any further in the plot, we've made it so deep, is the way... It's just such a time capsule.
Oh, yeah.
I look at Patrick Stewart in Logan, right? And I'm just like, man, Patrick Stewart looks great. He just always looks like Patrick Stewart. And then you watch it, it's like, oh, fuck, Patrick Stewart was young once. Mm. And if I went back further, he'd keep getting younger. But here he does. He looks great. Mm-hmm. And so does Sir Ian McKellen. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Before you keep going, I want to go around the table.
Good, because we've already gone pretty deep into this.
Yeah. Did this movie exceed your expectations of it, or did it? Was it worse than you remember?
It was worse than I remember.
It was worse than I remember.
Yeah, sadly worse than I remember. I remember it was the exact same. It's just been so long since I've seen this. It was the exact same experience that I remember in the theaters where I was like, oh, this is starting off pretty okay. And then by about 20 minutes in, I'm like, this is a train wreck. It's not working.
I thought it was like, it's way better than I remembered it being. Yeah, I'm not saying it was good. I think that 2/3 of this movie is good. The first third, I'd say, is pretty good.
For me, this is exactly what I expected. I remember seeing this in theaters with one John Campioni. What up, Camps?
What up, Camps?
And I remember leaving the movie theater and be like, wow, that was a good comic book movie. Those don't happen. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. And then this is also the time, eventually would become the time of PlayStation 2. So I had a DVD player. Mm. I got the X-Men DVD, I remember, for Christmas, and did all the Easter eggs and did all the things around to see the Spider-Man scene. You remember that? Did you ever
so
see that?
So funny.
Yeah. And so I was super into it. But
can you explain that? Yeah.
Oh, sure. There's when they were filming X-Men, the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movie got announced. Not even that Tobey was in it, but hey, they're doing a Spider-Man film. And so in one of the scenes at the Statue of Liberty where they run up to a doorway, they're like, all right, let's do another take of it. And they all ran up, and then another guy jumped out in the Spider-Man, in a cheap-ass Spider-Man suit, and ran up behind him, and then just goes, sorry. And they all turn around, all the actors bust up, and they're like, all right, ding, ding, lunch. And that was like their final thing, and they put it in there as a deleted scene.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was really cute and really funny. But I watched
should have kept that in the movie.
I watched it enough there to know it really well, and then years later into the MCU, I was on TV, and I watched it, and I was like, wow. We did not know how to do fight scenes at all.
The wire work, man.
Yeah.
The whole movie looked like bad practical effects in comedy movies.
Yeah.
Right? Wolverine jumping. Why does it look so shitty?
It's weird because I want to criticize this movie a lot. But obviously, it's an 18-year-old movie. And B, it was before anyone really understood what a comic book movie could be. Mm-hmm. But I think that might be my biggest criticism with it was when they announced the team of people working behind it. I don't think they really knew... Like, even, you know, according to David Hayter, he was like, they didn't really know what they were dealing with. Like, nobody really knew how to tackle a comic book movie. Sure. So we got to give it a little bit of credit for kind of starting off the whole modern comic book movie genre.
And I mean, this is what lit the fuse.
Yeah.
Did make and
absolutely
pave the way for all of it. So I give it total leeway on the fact that,
But did it, though? Because the Batman movies leading into it, just the 90s.
Those were different. Yeah. Those were so different because those weren't. X-Men, I think about the time jump we're talking about too. We're talking about 2000, right? Mm-hmm. 89 Batman is like, wow, what a, this is a dark take on Batman. It's this, that, and the other is cool. No, and correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Even there, the fight scenes aren't amazing. No. They're cool. Mm-hmm. They're cool fight scenes, but it's because you're dealing with a man dressed as a bat who's sitting there dodging things, not turning his head.
That was more style.
That's easier to fight, right? But then it goes to Returns. It's like, awesome. And then we get into the super campy shit. Mm-hmm. And that's I feel like there's a whole time period there of...
What year was Batman and Robin? Like 98, 97?
It would have been somewhere.
I think it was 96.
I want to say.
Yeah.
I think it was 96.
Right.
I think that when they went to the super campy, they lost a bunch of people.
And I feel like this is the one that
for kids.
This is the grabs the wheel and puts us back on track of like, no, we can do a comic book movie that isn't
that's serious,
super dark, but it isn't fucking.
And it's sort of rooted in some sort of reality.
Yeah.
And I think that's why like the outfits are so like, oh, it's just black leather because like that's what's cool at the time. Like what? The Matrix had just happened. Black Lotus is fucking that's dope. True, yeah,
that was right. actually you know? I thought a really interesting and I think a choice that worked for the movie is that you had their same costumes that did look like uniforms, but they had little flares of the original costumes. Like Wolverine still had his like stripes that were on the arms and things like that. So I thought that was actually pretty cool at the time. And looking back on it, I think that's it's interesting, but I think that you know, they even have the joke in the movie where he's like, what did you want us to wear? Like spandex? And everyone was like, you know, at the time, everyone was like, there's no way you can make the actual costumes work. And now,
Captain America, you can. Man.
You can easily make them work. It's not that hard. They could have easily made those, you know, put those in. But I think that, again, that's another choice where you're like, we don't know what audiences are ready for. And I can't honestly go back and say that the costumes would have worked for that era. I think we needed those subdued, like, costumes and those subdued choices to get us into and get us ready for an Iron Man.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Are we going to do the plot?
We're in it still.
Because
we took a side.
Because, like, so that intro Matrix scene is obviously, like, very, very, like, super late 90s, early 2000s. Yeah,
really,
it looks
really
like a fucking
CG.
Windows
ends
XP.
With Cerebro.
Screensaver.
Yeah, it was so bad.
Like, it looks like a Winamp visual player. Like, you know, that sort
it
of
does.
Thing. And, but then when the movie starts to get going, and up until Wolverine is at the mansion, I was like, dude, this is the best superhero movie I've ever seen.
Sure.
Yeah. And it's awesome. And like, and you see Charles Xavier and Magneto talking to each other. It's like, this is like a fan film
here,
casting sort of thing. Like, obviously we know who Ian McKellen is now. Mm-hmm. Back then we didn't. But watching them talk, it's like, dude, this is like perfect. This is so good
they
right now.
Really, they had great chemistry the whole series.
And then it wasn't until that they get to the,
the train station.
No, the scene that really showed the cheesiness to me is is the Wolverine, this is the Academy of, and it's like, and they said really positive
dude,
music.
The music was so bad.
This is where
it all
like,
sounded
got
like
cheesy.
Like weird MIDI keyboard, like demo shit. They're just like, well, this is free, so we're going to use it.
Yeah.
See, it got me well before that, though. It's right around the time when Rogue, for whatever reason, is in Canada. And
just running away.
They tried to do that. You want to argue that now or when we get
He's going
to
say story.
Let's just go to the story, yeah.
Okay, so as I said, humans only use 20% of their brain. Lucy uses 1,000. They're doing that all over the thing, and then we go to just the happiest place on Earth, Auschwitz, right? And like, this is what you're talking about, right?
Yes.
Of the fact that in the theater, like, wow, we're going here?
Yeah.
And wow, it's not ham-fisted and shitty and weird. It's like actually a... Wow, this is a powerful scene of course, Magneto. Eric getting pulled away from his parents, right? But his mutant abilities kick in, as they do in times of crisis. He brings down the gate. All the soldiers are holding him. And they can't pull him. And he fucking comes over and hits him with the butt of the gun, takes him down, right? Fucking, I remember in the theater being like, holy shit, to your point of like, this is the best superhero movie ever made.
Yeah.
Well, granted, there wasn't much of that, but it was like, I didn't expect to go in there and do that. And again, at this point in my life, right, I'm a DC fanboy through and through. I remember like X-Men Apocalypse and shit like that. I watched the cartoon, but I never knew this was the kind of shit they were wrestling with in terms of a backstory. And like, what, like, let's immediately make you understand why Magneto would found the Brotherhood, why he'd be on such a different side than Charles.
Mm-hmm. And a great call is getting rid of the evil in Brotherhood of Evil Mutants.
Mm-hmm.
That was always a weird thing.
Yep.
It's on the nose. Brotherhood of Mutants works a lot better.
Just so you know what you're getting yourself into, we are the evil Brotherhood, just so you guys know.
So we have that setting already, which is fantastic, powerful, well done, not weird to have this, you know, horrible part of human history in there. Jump from there, we go to the floor of the UN or whatever, the Senate. Jean Grey's there giving her speech.
And from that moment, you're like, all right, you guys nailed the fucking casting. You gave us Professor X, you gave us Magneto, they're perfect. You gave us a Wolverine that was not perfect. You gave us a Wolverine that was not what we expected.
But grew into
but
be perfect.
Then turned to be a new iteration of Wolverine. Like,
yeah.
Hugh Jackman is Wolverine in the way that Robert Downey Jr. is Iron Man. And it's
hold
like,
on, Andy said.
There it is.
And so, like, shout out to them. They nailed it with Hugh Jackman eventually.
The thing is, I don't know that they ever nailed it with Hugh Jackman. I think
what?
I just became.
That's crazy.
Let me stop. I just became a huge Hugh Jackman fan. Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't know. I love him and I will support anything he does. And as Wolverine, I'm like, that's great. But I don't really ever. Like, Logan was probably the first time I remember thinking, okay, he's actually nailing the role.
No way.
Because I just.
X2. you picked the wrong house, bub.
Yeah, but to me, it's his acting and attitude is right. His look isn't right. Yeah. But that's especially
in this one. He's way too pretty in this one, right?
Very pretty and tiny.
And he's supposed to be like
5'6" or 5'7".
Yeah, I mean, it just my perception of Wolverine, like they just picked a pretty boy for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's an interesting call. And I always just had this perception that Wolverine, again, I'm basing this largely off of the 93 cartoon series, but I just always had the perception that he was old. He was supposed to be old. And he was, it was weird that, and I think I know why they chose it, but you know, Famke Jensen, they chose her as Jean Grey. They look like contemporaries, right? They look like two people that if they were on screen as lovers would make sense. But then you see James Marsden, who looks like a 16-year-old boy. And it's
of watching Westworld week after week where I'm like, how does James Marsden never age? And then you watch this like you were a child.
He was 12. And so I just thought the casting, while they nailed Patrick Stewart, Ian McKellen, and just to a large degree, eventually Hugh Jackman, the rest of it was just off. Man,
Jean Grey was horrible.
And then we get who I think was probably the biggest star at the time was Halle Berry, who was in like 10 scenes, maybe 10 scenes max.
With the worst accent.
Sometimes I do an accent. Don't do an accent.
Only in this movie, and then she gives up for rest of it. I was reading trivia, and they're like, she doesn't use it at all.
No, but like, to say that like it was only this movie, it was like 30% of this movie.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I was gonna wait until we got later in it, but I need you to give it to me. Give it to me.
Oh, is there a new accents podcast? Or we do the wig one?
Okay. Oh my God! No, we can't. It's too many. Give me a wig out.
No, don't do that. There can be an accent podcast.
Can there be an accent podcast?
An accent.
Give it to
podcast?
Me accent.
Oh man,
the accidental accent.
Wasn't prepared for this one.
Go for it. Give it to me. Give it to me.
I like accidental accent.
Yeah, that's what it's gonna be.
That's pretty cute. Okay. Let's do a wig out, and I'll think about it.
Okay,
let's
you think about it. Go.
Is it a wig? I don't know. Wigging out with Scarpino.
We know the current state of the Wigspiracy, okay? Mm-hmm. We've seen the end of it, but we don't know how far back it goes. I thought it ended in 2005, right? That's how far back my knowledge goes. Yeah. No, 2000, an example of when the Wigspiracy live and in effect. Everything is okay. I thought Hugh Jackman's was a wig. It's not a wig. It's actually his hair, and it was terrible. But Halle Berry's wig, I don't know what bargain bin Party City they found that fucking thing in, but it is terrible. And you'll notice in later films they just did her hair, right? They were like, let's go
great
with
call
it.
By the
but
way.
Again, another example of like there are choices made here that were just not in parody with what we have today, where people really understand that the mainstream audience is like acclimated to this. It's just everything was just like blown out of the fucking proportion, man. That wig is just atrocious. And that's it.
I didn't think of anything.
Accidental accent.
Well, I was thinking sexual seduction. Accidental accent. Sexual seduction. You know,
okay. Yeah.
Kind of like that. Yeah,
can you integrate the bird from.
No, you can't come around universe.
I just did the XCOM theme. Sorry. It's the accidental accent.
We'll think about it. We'll talk about it later.
I'll tell you, that accent was terrible. I haven't seen an accent that bad since Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, where Kevin Costner, I think halfway through, just literally decided to stop doing an English accent. Just literally.
Or it's like he forgot also. Like,
yeah, they're just like, there's scenes where clearly.
For 3 days and oh, fuck, wait.
Yeah, I totally forgot. No one picked it up.
I was listening to a podcast. I was listening to Nerdist, actually, and it was Tom Holland talking about Spider-Man and how he had like filmed all these scenes back when they were doing Homecoming. And he was watching like an early cut and was like, oh my God, like there was 3 or 4 scenes where I was like, guys, we need to refilm that. I just didn't do my American accent whatsoever. Like, I just trash. I forgot, you know? So that's like, maybe it's just a forgetful thing.
That's
maybe
crazy that he had to be the one to say that.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? I don't know. But you shoot things out of order. And then one of the harder things about doing an accent as an actor is like, if you shoot it all at the same day, great. But then you got to go back and listen to that and pick it back up because you're not going to, you know, Halle Berry could have shot days apart from each other. Who knows? And Halle Berry, she's an amazing actor. But I just think that the direction of like, do sort of a
Kenyan accent,
maybe, I don't know. And then Brian Singer goes off and I don't know who the hell knows.
But it's like maybe she wasn't comfortable with it and then gave up and was hoping nobody noticed. I don't think that she had like confidence in it because even when she was trying, it was barely.
But you're assuming that they filmed in order, which is not how films are, right? They didn't start with their first scene. So like her first scene and her last scene there, and then in the middle is like it's different. It's just it was weird.
It was really bad.
It was so bad.
Was Hugh Jackman always slated to be Wolverine?
No, they had some other
people. I had read that like that was a last minute thing.
There was a guy that was supposed to be Hugh Jackman for, and I forget, he's like a character actor. Excuse me, not Hugh Jackman.
Okay.
There was another guy they had that a lot of people were like, he's a front runner. But I guess, yeah, because the thing is, the other thing is, who the hell is Hugh Jackman was my first reaction to that. He had not been in anything that I know of note up until this point.
It's not about Wolverine, but a fun, this almost happened thing is long before he would be tasked with bringing the Avengers together on screen, Joss Whedon rewrote the screenplay for Bryan Singer's X-Men. Unfortunately, Whedon's draft ended up being rejected by the studio because it was too quick-witted.
Oh, that would have been amazing.
It would have been so good, man.
So good.
No,
back to the plot.
So we're here. Jean Grey is giving her speech in front of Congress, Senate, whoever the fuck it is. Senator Kelly's there, so it must be the Senate, I guess. But it looks like futuristic and weird, so maybe it's the UN. Maybe it's just futuristic. Who the fuck cares? She gives her whole speech of, like, mutations are happening. Don't be afraid. No big deal. And then Senator Kelly himself stands up. Where do you know him from, ladies and gentlemen? The TV adaptation of Harry and the Hendersons. Yeah. That's right. It's Mr. Shit. Henderson.
Never did anything before. Never did anything since.
Senator Kelly stands up, and he's just a big swinging dick. And he's totally doing the Joseph McCarthy shit of, like, I have a list of mutants here. They're more dangerous than any other weapon. And Jean Grey's bickering with him. And he's like, no. And he's talking about how there's people who can get in your minds and control you. And what do they do this? And she's like, she's on the defensive. She wasn't expecting this full-on
Shadow
assault.
Cat gets a shout-out. It's like the girls run through walls.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's only so much these mutants can do. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's like, a one-time thing. I'm sure there's plenty of them. He gets her on the defense, though. Yeah, Senator Kelly's rallying up the troops here of, like, yeah, you know what? Like, these guys, the mutants suck, blah, blah, blah. And guess what? Eric, he's heard enough. Magneto, he walks out. But Professor X, he sees it, and he rolls after him. And this is where we get a great conversation of them up on the walkway, right? Where they, Eric doesn't even turn around for the longest time.
You want to do the conversation? Me
sure,
and you?
Sure. You're Xavier?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
Where are you going, Magneto?
There. What do you hope to find up here, Charles?
I'm trying to find my keys. I'm old as fuck.
Hope? You'll find none here, old friend. They're coming to kill us.
Why don't we just talk this out? That was great.
I knew it great. If you're watching really X-Universe and you need a younger Magneto, I'm there. You know what I mean? Okay, it's just one of those things they could
do. Only we could figure out what you look like with a shaved head.
I don't know, man. Anyways. And there it's revealed that, yes, this
I'll
is
start
all...
start paying attention now.
This is... This is all very in line with what Eric's seen before with the Nazis. Because if you didn't know, everybody's Nazis fucking suck. Yeah. They're cowards. They're little shitheads. They're really bad people that don't have any reason to be on this earth. And he's like, I've seen this before. I've seen this fear. I've seen these laws. I've seen little shits like Senator Kelly. Not Mr. Henderson. Mr. Henderson and Harry and the Hendersons was dope.
Yeah,
different people.
Different universes. When we get to the Harry Henderson's MCU, we'll be all fun.
Separate the art from the artist.
Exactly. And he stomps out of there, right? And Charles is like, woof. Troubles are coming. Mm-hmm. And then we jump down to Mississippi. And here's where, you want to talk about a time capsule. Because I remember Rogue being a contemporary at the time, 2000. Yeah. And I was like, she's getting ready to graduate high school. I was about to. Camps and I were watching. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this Anna woman, very attractive, right? And then you jump ahead a short decade or two later, right? And she's just fucking banging people on True Blood, naked all the time.
So super naked. I'm unfamiliar.
And it was the exact same thing. Oh my God. They're married right now?
I think so, yeah.
They were when the show was going.
They had such hot sex that the producers were like, you gotta get married.
This is obscene for us to film this.
But the blonde guy was the hot guy.
He's hot Sarsgaard. Too, Sarsgaard.
Yeah. Like Nick is, dude, he has the world's shittiest do-rag.
Yeah. That's exactly what it looks like.
Back to this, though. Same thing, True Blood. I'm like, man, Anna Paquin doesn't age either. She's still as attractive as she was then. I go back and watch this now as the 35-year-old man. I'm like, she's a child. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She is a baby child. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, when I was a contemporary, it was okay to think that. Mm. Nah, I cannot think that. Mm. But she's there in big old Mississippi.
Doesn't have a rogue hair. I wonder how she's going to get that.
Fucking bullshit. This movie's not accurate to the comics. Everybody saw the images. It's like garbage. Above her bed, she has... her road Spider-Man. Trip across the country.
Oh.
Where she wants to go from Mississippi up through the thing and into Alaska.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Suck it. You weren't paying attention as usual.
Sorry, man.
Do it, dude.
Suck it, please.
Everyone should go to Alberta, Canada at some point.
She was trying to get to Alaska.
Why?
Probably to get those fucking geese again. Who knows? Yeah. It doesn't matter.
She was talking about it with her boyfriend when like it cuts in.
Yeah.
She's like, and then we'll go here.
Yeah.
I thought this was a great scene.
It was a great scene. And then this boyfriend's like, all right, cool. It's time to knock fucking boots.
I was going to say, Greg, what do you think was on his mind the entire time she was talking?
His throbbing erection.
Yeah.
That thing was so hard. On her bed. Her fucking dumb as shit Mississippi parents are downstairs playing piano, staring at the wall. They don't even care that we're up here about to fuck.
Yeah.
And so he leans in for a big old smooch and she starts sucking his life force because, of course, she's rogue. This is where we discover she's rogue. She screams as he collapses. She runs to the corner. Parents, they stop playing the piano and fucking dad stops jacking off, staring at the wall, whatever the fuck he's doing down there. Probably looking through, he's got cameras up there ready to watch because he's fucking gross.
Oh my God.
Too far, dude. Just letting you know, this
thing happens.
Yeah. These mutants, man.
If you're a teenager, to go to Mississippi.
These mutants need to be stopped.
Anyways, they run up there. Rogue screams, "Don't touch me!" And then we jump up to Alaska.
She was great in that scene. I thought her reactions, her acting, line delivery was awesome.
Was this the first time her powers had manifested themselves?
I think so.
That's the read I had.
Her immediate reaction was, "I'm going to run away from home and go to Alaska."
She put a boy into a coma. Yeah. I'm sure it was all the mutant stuff.
I think it was the horniness that triggered it. She was just worried
that she was a mutant and she didn't get away from it.
It was extreme stress, right? Yeah. That's what Jean Grey had said, or extreme emotion, or whatever. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, but I think it was the idea that...
Okay.
I mean, like, mutants already known in the world. Mutants already looked down on. Mutants already the outcast. So, you know, maybe her parents had a similar Bobby Drake reaction that we'll learn
about. She did know how long she had put him in the hospital. Like... She said that he was in for 3 weeks.
So
she could have stayed there,
Parents hated her, or I'm sorry, the boy's parents hated her and all this shit. Yeah. Again, they're all just fucking down there in Mississippi on their fucking tugboats.
You think dad's still back? Dad still went back and watched the tape either way, though?
Yeah,
just beat it. Stop.
What is going on?
Shout out to all our Mississippi listeners.
For being good sports.
We're just fucking around. We love you. It turns out that Engadget reporter from Mississippi, I take it all. Back.
You're a horrible monster.
She goes up to Canada, as you said, right? She's been going up there riding with the truckers. You know what I mean?
That trucker.
Yeah.
A little cameo appearance there from George Buza, who voiced Beast in the animated show.
Oh, very well done.
That's a good one. Good drop in there.
I always thought it was Kelsey Grammer.
I hear the blues are calling. Wait, the guy driving the trucker, the voice of Kelsey Grammer, or Kelsey Grammer when he plays him in X3?
Hey, did you know Kelsey Grammer was in Cheers?
What?
Cool.
Which one, Andy? Okay. Did you think it was the voice?
Okay.
All right, so she gets out of the thing. I thought you were going to take me as far as whatever, Starburn City. And he's like, this is Starburn City. So she gets out and goes into this bar or whatever, and there's a whole bunch of cage fighting happening over there, guys. Mm-hmm. And in the middle, there he is, the Wolverine, right?
Wolverine.
You know what I mean? And he's a Hugh Jackman. He's doing shots of whiskey, smoking a cigar. He's being maybe drinking beer. I forget. He's doing it, but he's over there, and he's like, people are just getting the shit kicked out of him.
The ripe old age of 27 years old.
How old do you think he was there?
He couldn't have been more than 30.
Fuck yeah.
Maybe early 30s.
Well, they
30s.
Casted him so young because they knew, like, we need you for the next 2 decades.
They did not know that.
They did not know that. There's no way they planned it.
Fucking, they were all over it, you know what I mean? And so then another guy, this ringmaster doing a great job of just really riling up this inbred Alaskan crowd. You know what I mean?
Let's run the game, man. Slow it down. Fuck you, Oregon.
More of these backwater Canadian fucks or whatever.
Piss off everybody. You from Nebraska? Fuck yourself.
Anyways, one of those dumb fucks, he looks like Justin Credible from ECW. He gets up and he walks in there, and the ringmaster's like, all right, anything goes, whatever, just don't hit him in the balls. That's a funny line, right? Well, I thought anything goes. He's like, yeah, but it'll really piss him off. And I'm like, that's funny. That's funny, right? I like that.
Yeah,
you know
that's
what
a
mean?
Good moment.
Not a lot of funny moments in this X-Men movie.
Quips here and there.
There are a couple, though.
But maybe 5% as much as any MCU.
Oh, yeah, but it's a different beast in every aspect.
And they were trying to be, I think, grounded, like we were talking about, right? Yeah. You get the fucking great Dynamite joke of, you know what happens to a toad when it gets struck by lightning, right?
The same thing happens to everything else. Do you know the background behind that?
I know there's a story, and I don't remember it anymore.
It was just, there was a series of little comments that Toad would say, where he would be ask people, you know what happens when a toad, and it's like, he gets away. So that time, she was like, you're fucked.
But they cut all Darth Maul out. You know what I mean? Yeah. This is why Darth Maul didn't talk at all.
Hey, but he swung that fucking. He spun that thing.
Yeah,
you know.
We're not there yet. Okay. You know what I mean? Don't worry about it.
Let him get there.
Jesus, Andy.
I'm waiting.
So then, guess what? Wolverine, of course, ends up beating the shit out of this guy. This guy gets some good shots in there, but then he hits him, like, fucks up his hand, right? Because he's hitting the adamantium or whatever. He's beaten.
Which to me seems super unfair that he's even in
100%.
Because he's like, there's no way that anyone is going to get close, right?
I've been saying it for since I saw this movie that he's a swindler.
Yeah. It should have been Wolverine versus Bonesaw, if I'm going to be honest with you.
Oh, shit.
Now you got it. Now you got a picture on your hands. You got a major motion picture right there I like a lot. It's beaten. It's time jump. Whatever. We jump back to the bar. Rogue's sitting there just drinking water. She's got no money. She keeps eyeing the tip jar. He sees the bartender sees that and moves it. On the TV, we got more of this anti-mutant rhetoric going around, how all these horrible things are happening with the mutants or whatever.
Audio listeners have no idea.
Do video listeners know what's happening? Yeah.
That's a great point.
Wolverine comes over to the bar to settle up a bit, and then guess what? Justin Credible's back. Like, no man could take a beating like that and not have a single bruise on him. Give my money back. He knows he's a freak. You know what
freaking
I mean?
Freaking
mutie. Starts giving him the mutie talk, all that shit. Yeah, it turns out, I don't like you. I don't like morph anything. Wolverine grabs him and throws him up on the pillar and then does the claws to his neck and just puts out two.
That was dope.
He's like, so just cool. Walk away. Even doper, I feel, is the bartender then pulls a shotgun on Wolverine and does the awesome thing that I'll always remember. Andy, come here. Turn your head the other way. And he does that thing where he puts it into the back of his hair and then brushes his hair with it. Like, hey, I got a fucking shotgun in the back of your head.
What are you going to fucking do about
it? It's delicate. No. It screams like, hey, I could kill you, but I could also kiss you.
Damn. And for the first reveal of his claws, I thought it was weird.
With the middle one coming out.
But I thought it was weird that it did it. Come out because I'm like,
he can control him. That's the thing. He can control him. That's what it looked like. It was an extension of him, essentially.
Yeah.
And then I don't know. Is that like canon?
No. What does it matter?
That you can control. You can only control some of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was more of like a rage, like pumping him out from you, and not like a. I mean, having these are my fingers that I can make do things.
Well, can you do this?
Finger.
I mean, it's mechanical.
I just said not fingers.
Well, then he can do it.
Fuck, you're right, dude. You're right.
You got him.
Look at this.
I thought it was a cool reveal. I liked it then. I like it now. Yeah. Obviously, CG's not as good as it should be, but whatever. That's how it is. We only had, those computers that came in the cow boxes, the Gateway 2000s at the time. Remember those things?
Oh, yeah.
But then you get the reveal you want where he spins around, all blades out, cuts the shotgun in half, the fucking pedal. It's all fall everywhere. Awesome shit.
Mm-hmm. Awesome shit.
And then Rogue sees all this. She realizes he's a mutant or whatever. And this is where timelines don't match up at all, right? Because he stomps out with his bag or whatever, and Rogue's still in there. But somehow she gets in the back of his vehicle and laying on this thing. What?
No, you're right.
She just ran after him. Probably.
Yeah, she just ran off immediately after him.
Somehow got into his car.
When it's cold, you have to leave your car on for a little bit. So I'm sure he was just chilling.
And he
there
did
for
do that thing
while,
where he sat
in
there and he rubbed his knuckles.
Yeah.
Like,
so where the fuck else does he have to go?
That little moment, I was like, man, that's so human to just sit there and be like, oh,
it hurts.
Yeah.
Like I had to pull them out again.
Yeah.
I will say this.
They nailed the sound of the schnicked. Schnick, you know what I mean? Yeah.
It sounds so fucking violent.
Yeah, it's so violent. Although I remember thinking, back in the day, and this doesn't bother me anymore, obviously, because they went with that look, but I hated the full blade look of his claws.
How thick they were?
Yeah, I wanted the them shape. To be a little bit more cylindrical and come to a fine point. Oh, okay. Because when you watch them in the original comic book, if you saw them in comic books or watch them in the cartoon, they always looked a little bit more like...
Did they?
Like needles.
Like needles as opposed
instead
to like Freddy Krueger.
Kitchen knives. Like, and these, I was like, oh, they put three kitchen knives in each one of his hands. That's kind of... interesting, but looking back on it now, you're like, those fucking things are menacing. Yeah. So whatever.
I always thought it looked more like blade-like, I always assumed that when they made them, they shaped them too.
I mean, again, just a choice. Yeah. I don't know, but I remember thinking, wow, those are really big things to have kicking around in your.
I always thought it was
hands.
Whenever you saw the bone ones in comics or
to me they were supposed to look more like the bone ones.
Yeah, the bone ones always looked really weird because they were round.
But the thing is, and that was what didn't make sense to me, because they're bone, so you figure they coated all of his bones with animantium, and when the claws came out, they were like, oh shit, we didn't know that was going to be a thing. So did they go in and just put claws into his skin over the bones, or how did that work?
Over the bones, yeah.
We'll have to wait till X2.
That's fair.
No, but
Bonesaw comes out.
Striker! I'm going to come get you, Striker.
He does have the bone ones later.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, yeah, it's fine. You're totally fine. Now we're driving on the road. Wolverine just sniffs it and smells it. Smells Anna Paquin back there because she's
so many powers.
Exactly.
Smells the ducks.
Exactly. Smells those ducks on it. The Canadian geese.
Yeah. Well, that's one of his powers.
I know.
Yeah. Super sniffer.
It's funny.
It comes back later, by the way. There's a callback to it later.
Yep,
where it's like, stabbed you in the fucking stomach.
Yeah, that's
lived,
awesome. That's really cool, too.
Because what is your superpower, Mystique? Why can you do all these amazing things?
Yeah,
she's a shapeshifter. What do you mean?
Yeah, but then when she's like,
she climbed up a fucking rope walls, upside down. Like,
she's fucking powerful.
She just shifts her fingers to something that can stick to walls.
I don't know.
How's Hawkeye so good at shooting arrows? You know, that's how it is.
He's practice. Not. He talked about
that's
it.
She practices too.
Hawkeye's a lie.
I miss Hawkeye.
You'll get him. Oh, you'll get him.
Fucking moron.
He's a fucking moron.
All right, focus.
Let's. I feel like, and this is another thing I want to really, if I may, I think Nick and I both, Nick, get ready.
Yeah.
We want to wag our fingers at you guys. Yeah. Wag your finger. Because, of course, Nick and I did our homework when we were supposed to originally film this and watched it last week.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's been like a week and a half. I feel like we must have jumped around and seen, I don't know, fucking Magneto or something at some point. But it doesn't matter. Well, I'm still just sticking with the Rogue thing. You don't like it? Fucking watch the movie and do it.
I think that's what happens, yeah.
Right. Rogue, he's going to leave Rogue behind. She's like, I got nowhere to go. He's like, I don't fucking care. I'm a Wolverine. And he gets back and the thing drives away and then he stops and he lets her in. Then she eats some beef jerky. They start talking. She has the great line of, you know, does it hurt when they come out? He's like, every time.
And she's putting her gloves on.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, she's got her gloves on. She freaks out when he leans over and he's like, I'm not going to hurt you, kid. She's like, I want to hurt you. You know, because she's got the touch powers. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know this.
She's got the touch.
She's got the touch. She's got the power.
That beef jerky, the way she ate it, made it look like the most delicious beef jerky. Every single time I watched that scene, I'm always like, fuck, she got some beef jerky. That's
some good jerky right there. You know what I mean?
It's a good call.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I remember it.
You just go back and watch anytime you want.
She was very hungry.
She was like this.
They're driving. They're beginning to hit it off. You know what I mean? They're becoming X-Men or whatever, but they don't know it yet. And eventually she's like, you need to put your seatbelt on. He's like, don't tell me how to drive. And the trees falls down in the road. He hits it. He goes through the windshield. And we're like, oh, God, he's dead. And then guess what? He's not dead. He gets up in the window, cracks his neck. Are you okay? He heals up there. There's a fire starting behind her. She's trapped in the car. Uh-oh. How could this get worse? I'll tell you. A very, very terrible character named Sabretooth shows up.
Oh, my God.
And I don't mean terrible in terms of the comic book is terrible. I mean, like, this interpretation is so fucking
so
horrible,
bad.
Dude.
Nick, I don't even know where you want to begin.
Well, before we get to that,
makeup and wig and
the eyebrows.
Before we get to that, I want to call out one of the coolest shots in the movie, though. All kidding aside, is when he gets propelled forward. There's a top down shot where it's just his limp body that slides
that,
to a
that
stop.
Ragdoll.
And I was was so fucked
violent.
Up.
I
felt like though, like him shooting out of the car
was horrible.
Well, it just didn't look real. It looked like a dummy that was stiff the entire time.
A little bit
time.
About that, but I just
like
that ragdoll
shot. The slide,
I was like, I remember thinking the first time I saw it, I was like, that was fucking cool.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a good way to show that he can heal.
Yeah. You're like, whoa, he's clearly dead. And then he gets up and it's. That's a cool thing. And then, Mr. Sabretooth with his...
And Wolverine smells him again.
He does It's bad. It's bad in so many different ways, especially we know that Liev Schreiber is eventually going to be Sabretooth, and it's a much more modernized interpretation of it, and it works so much better because of the rivalry and all that stuff.
Yeah.
This was just I guess we should try to make him look more like he was before, but...
He looked like the fucking lion from The Wizard of Oz.
He sounded like a lion, too.
Dude, the ADR
the sound
in this movie...
is so bad.
It's so bad when you see people, like, talking, and it's like, it doesn't always add up.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound right. So many people's lines, I'm like, you're not saying that. No.
And I could not shake then, nor can I shake now, that stick with me on this one, because you're probably going to be the only person that gets
me. I'm here with you.
You should focus. Ron Perlman from Beauty and the Beast. Remember that TV show that he did with Sarah Connor?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it reminded me of the entire time. I'm like, I want this guy to be a good guy, but he's not. He's not Ron Perlman.
No, he's not.
For some reason, I thought it was going to be David Harbour. Like, when I looked at him, I was like, is that a young David Harbour?
I don't know who that is.
I thought it was Aaron Eckhart, but it wasn't.
From Stranger Things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh,
I for some reason thought it was him, and I was like, no, you know what? It's not him. Looked up who it was, and I was like, fuck, this guy looks like David Harbour. Like,
but it's weird. Like, you go back and look at, like, none of these people, other than Patrick Stewart and Halle Berry, were, like, really known. Even Ian McKellen back in the day, like, back then wasn't, I don't know if
he was known as a great actor, but not, like, a movie star.
But he hadn't done, correct me if I'm wrong, but he hadn't done Lord of the Rings yet, right?
No, but I'm
so,
sure
like, he
I'm
wasn't
sure that
really,
hadn't begun yet.
I'm sure he'd been in a bunch of, like, stuff overseas.
The Downton Abbey.
Oh, no, he was very famous.
Yeah.
But he had not broken through as a mainstream movie actor. Neither had Patrick Stewart for that. Matter because remember Patrick Stewart's big claim to fame was The Next Generation. That was pretty much it.
Engage.
Number great, two, great I'll have to take a number one.
Make it so.
Wolverine and Sabretooth fight. This is just another reason to hate Sabretooth because this fight is terrible. It's just a very bad fight that ends
a lot
with Wolverine
of throwing.
Just getting like thrown onto the car.
Yeah.
Okay. And I guess this is Sabretooth has the upper hand, but guess what, everybody? Woo, the X-Men
it's
plane
snowing.
Shows up.
It starts to snow.
Yeah, the snow's there, and then the plane shows up, and then it's Cyclops and Storm. They come out, and Storm's got to make it snow. And then Cyclops blasts Sabretooth right off into the thing. And then, okay, they pick up Rogue. They pick up Wolverine. You assume. We don't know. They put him in the plane. They fly him back. I might be added to the deleted scene there. Of the transport. I don't know if they showed the transport.
I don't think they showed the transport.
I don't recall the transport.
He shoots her seatbelt off.
That is the worst effect ever. It was, I had to roll it back. I was like, that can't have been that bad. I rewound it and watched it again. It's like After Effects 1.0.
It looks like something out of
it was a different time,
out of
guys.
Like
20
the old Clash of the Titans movies.
Yeah,
like it
it's
looks
so bad.
That it stood out really. Yeah,
so many of the effects poorly. In this movie, I kept looking over at G and I was just like, Andy could do this, and he does do it in party mode when he's trying to be obnoxious with the editing. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like,
but
that's
guys,
the level
now
of
After Effects is like on another level. This is so accessible. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when you see what what Isma Hawk's doing, like, yeah, that shit looks incredible, but like, we have better tools. Back then, I don't remember walking out and being like, man, that looked like effects look dumb.
Yeah,
it was like, true. This shit was awesome.
Again, in the commentary, they talked about the world's four biggest supercomputers had to crunch numbers for 3 weeks to make those effects. All right. That's how it was back then. You didn't know.
That's fair.
Y2K was coming for
crazy
us. I'm going to toss this in there. I'm not sure if this is when it happens, but it doesn't really matter that much. We're just going to get to the abduction of Senator Kelly.
Okay.
I'm going to toss this in there just because you figure Sabretooth was sent off to get Rogue. They're all going to think it's Wolverine, but he was there for Rogue. Meanwhile, Mystique and Toad, they went on a helicopter ride. They get Senator Kelly because Mystique's been pretending to be Senator Kelly's right-hand man forever, and Toad's just there. Whatever. Cool. So, again, we get in there. We hear the conversation of Senator Kelly being a little douchebag trying to fucking turn the votes to get this mutant registration law to go. Mm-hmm. Hangs up, and then he's talking to his bro over there about all this shit, and then the bro's like, he turns into Mystique, and Senator Kelly's like, and then she grabs him with her feet around his neck. Is this one of your things you don't like?
It's one of the things.
I mean, again,
Natasha
Romanoff. Right there, you go.
No,
Mystique was just trained.
There is a
Mystique
part that
trained.
It literally looks like
Rebecca
she walks on a wall.
Stamos at the time, sir.
She envisioned her hands being suction cups. She can turn into anything. She turns into she turns into the fucking Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, that was stupid.
So. Not like the full blown Statue of Liberty, but remember the little one?
Oh, yeah.
She just pictured fucking Garfield suction cups.
They made such stupid choices like that. Yeah. Like, that's just dumb. That's bad, and nobody wanted that.
Also, imagine Toad. Replace him with fucking Seth Green from Can't Hardly Wait, and you wouldn't know the difference.
No,
you wouldn't know. She has a great line, though. It's people like you that made me afraid to go to school as a child. Yep. Like, yeah. And then she does like a million kicks in his face and knocks him out. She's going to take him back there, but we'll get to that later. Instead, we'll jump back to the old X-Men fortress here.
Mansion.
We're down in the fucking basement. We don't know we're in the mansion yet. We're just in the basement,
right? You're right.
And fucking Jean Grey is walking around. Again, yes, I do not like her as Jean Grey.
Horrible.
Sorry, everybody. She's a fine actress.
76
liked her,
year
I liked
old
her a lot in Nip Tuck.
76 year old?
76.
Yeah. You're crazy.
I don't have a problem with that.
No, I liked her fine.
You know, the thing, so I looked it up. I think she was actually very close to the same age as Hugh Jackman. I think she's only a couple years older than him.
Mm-hmm.
But she just, for whatever reason, like, I think... It was so out of place for me.
I'm sure it's direction.
I know this going forward with the MCU and all that stuff, but it's just like when X-Men is very similar to Spider-Man in that the stories are better when they're young and they're actually in the school.
Yeah. Mm.
Have a couple older mutants that are kind of looking out, but when you make the team the old people, like when it's Jean and Cyclops and Storm as the old people, it's like you're missing out on a lot of the fun stuff.
I think, honestly, the other thing that I was expecting, again, my touchstone being the 93 cartoon series, is that Scott always came off as, like, a 40-year-old leader, right?
Yeah.
And so having Famke Jensen, or the Jean Grey character, feel like she was so much more mature than him the entire time was so off-putting to watch. Mm. It was like...
Female protagonists.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm a woman hater, 100%.
Hold on, he's making a point. But
it was just off casting. I think had they, it's hard to pinpoint what's wrong with that equation.
I'm with you. They either needed to age Cyclops up and give him the similar footing and experience, or age her down.
Yeah, that's exactly because
even
right.
She speaks in the movie about how like, Professor X is teaching me to like. It's like, what? How long have you been here? Right?
Yeah,
like,
what are you
been here forever? Yeah, exactly.
But they're all teachers too, like.
I think I think the egregious thing is Cyclops. I love James Marsden because I feel like he's gotten the shaft in everything he's ever been in, but I just hated him in this. I'm like, he's too young. He has zero screen presence as far as commanding against Wolverine. And like, what I always liked about the cartoon series was that you wanted Wolverine and Jean Grey to get together, but you understood why she was with Scott. You respected Scott. You respected him as like he was the guy that was holding the team together. He was the leader they needed, even though you wanted to see what would happen if Wolverine took over the team every once in a while.
But like in this, he just came off as this shitty little pissant kid who knew that someone else was going to bang his girlfriend.
And
was
I even think that they didn't do a good job with Wolverine and Jean and that relationship. It's like, okay, it's obvious you're force feeding it that they
first
that off attention, but like
looking back now, kind of creepy. All of his interactions, he just like immediately was like, I'm into you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you about this. And like, ew. Although it does, I do question why a man who just went.
I didn't hear what he said.
Okay.
Did it not bother anyone else, though, that the fact that he just got punted through a windshield and woke up a second later, and then all of a sudden he was in like a coma for like fucking 8 hours?
And then he also had the electric things on him, right? And then like later he rips them off, and like he stays damaged for a while throughout the movie. Like there's a scene of him later, like when he's outside the mansion, and it's like, why didn't that heal?
The still hay cells.
There's like no consistency with your body damage.
Healing, but I will say this next part's cool.
Yeah, he's there. He's knocked out. The fucking Jean Grey shows up. She puts a thing in his arm. That's when he wakes up. He goes and grabs her by the neck. Throws her down. Runs out. And then, we start getting the Professor X.
Over here.
He's like all scared. And he's like hiding shit. It's really good. It's really good. Over here. Put on the head thing and do it. And it'll just be like photoreal. the elevator opens, though. He gets in there. It closes. He kind of freaks out. He comes up. Oh, he's in the school. People are running around. He's being all stealthy. Still getting the over here, over there, whatever. Eventually opens the door, runs into a classroom. There it is, Professor X with a whole bunch of kids. You want to name drop some mutants in there?
Was this the scene with Jubilee?
Jubilee's there. Kitty Pryde leaves her stuff. She grabs it.
Different Shadow Cat that we get in the future and different Jubilee than we get in the future.
Different Pyro.
Well, I mean, like that, Ellen Page, you know, that could still be her.
No.
You know what I mean? It's not Ellen Page. I'm saying she was just another brunette girl. It's fine. I suspend disbelief there. I don't think that was a recasting as much as that girl ages into becoming Ellen Page. Pride.
Okay.
I don't think that's how that works, Tim.
Like, you saw Pyro, too, right?
Yeah.
Oh, he's coming up. Again. He's not there yet. Right. Yeah.
No, he was in that class.
Was he?
Yeah, he made that ball of fire to be like, oh, look what I can do.
That wasn't the scene, though.
You guys are still way ahead of where I am. This is where Wolverine runs into Professor X's room.
You're right, I'm sorry.
Don't fucking touch me!
Don't touch him!
It's gonna go fucking down. And I just want you guys to know I got Andy's back.
Wait, what?
I don't feel like Andy's part of the, like...
Andy, I got your back, brother. You and me, buddy, you and me, we're gonna fight these motherfuckers right now.
Here we go. Guess what? We're gonna just drop a lot of exposition on you.
I'm Storm, and I'm so stormy.
Here's just, it's Professor X talking in a VO to Logan here and just explaining fucking everything. And we're seeing kids run on water, them use powers to play basketball. I'm sure all you Marvel nerds out there know each and every one of these pissants, but they're not going to go anywhere.
That's basketball guy.
This was the...
He's really good at basketball. My mutant powers, I can fucking dunk.
Wolverine, the only way to activate this bomb is to toss it through that hoop. None of us have the skills. Get basketball, kid.
This whole part it seemed like a fucking VHS training tutorial with like the music and him talking. It was just so.
I like it. I think that's the point, though. Yeah. Right?
A lot of cool visuals.
I don't know if it was done.
I liked
purpose,
it. For We're a moment, it world. Was like immersing you in the world, and it's like, look how much is going on.
It is
and
a cheap then, or a cheesy school.
Yeah. But not only that, I think that at the end of it, you have that.
I don't think they meant to do it that way.
I think it was the intent.
At the end of it, you have that moment where he's like giving everyone's names, being like, this is Cyclops and Storm. Yeah. And he's like, what are you,
Wheels? Wheels. What do they call you, Wheels? The stupid thing I've ever heard.
And it was good. I liked it. I liked them mocking.
And then, we had this whole conversation then is that he stomps off and sees Rogue because he's not into this, he's not feeling it.
Then he walks away and he sees Rogue like kind of having a good time.
And
Bobby.
Yeah, of course. Bobby Drake. This is the scene you were talking about. Yeah, where Pyro makes fire, Bobby freezes it, falls. Welcome to Mutant Island.
Quantum Break?
Yeah, Quantum Break. Fuck yeah. Well, is it? It always fucks me up that he has the twin brother who is on Smallville.
No, this is Quantum Break.
And then it gets even more fucked up because they were both on Smallville, different characters.
Because they were both in Animorphs. Or only he was in Animorphs.
Yeah, only he was.
Sean Ashmore.
Yeah. Sean Ashmore. The Ashmore twins, great folks. Glad they're doing well. That happens, and Logan's like, they seem like alright people talking to Rogue. We're mixing and matching here a little bit on what we're doing. But I also think, isn't it that Professor X here is like, there's another guy, Magneto, he's up to some shenanigans. If he's interested in you, that's bad news. I need you to
stay
here a few days. And I promise you I'll go into your fucked up mind and I'll try to help you get some of the answers you're looking for, right?
It's been 13 years, hasn't it? Or some shit. And he was like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, do we know at this point, like, I forget, does Rogue have a crush on Wolverine? Is she kind of into him, or is it more like a fatherly?
I think it's
more
of a, it is weird that later she's like sneaking up on him while he's sleeping.
It's like family. You know? Like, we'll get to that. I think it's more of a family thing. It's a connection. Didn't feel they like got a each other's thing. Backs. It's similar to Andy
just
and
like
Nick.
I got Andy's back.
Exactly.
But like, you got to remember, they knew each other for a total of like
but
20 minutes.
It was the first mutant
right?
she had ever seen.
Dude, her fucking hormones were popping up.
Yeah.
At the very, very end. She didn't get that dude with that raging fucking heart on earlier. And now she's
let's
like,
calm down.
Can
this is still a young girl that we're talking about.
At the very end, 18, 19, Jean Grey mentions to Wolverine, she's taking a liking to you or whatever. Yeah, and then Wolverine says, well, my heart belongs to somebody else. So like,
which is weird because that's somebody else literally just met a day ago.
Yeah.
Strange.
And married. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Weird.
Stop being an
is
asshole,
she married?
Wolverine.
He's creepy.
Yeah.
At that point.
Aren't they? Are they not? I always interpreted.
See, again, who knows how fucking old they are in this movie?
I think the fact he's a stay away from my girl
James
doesn't seem like
12.
A
very but wife. No, but he's, no, because he, Wolverine starts that. This is where you tell me to stay away from your girl? Like, because it's trying to be like a cheesy exactly. 50 thing.
But then we stay away from my fucking girl. And by the way, neither of these people are menacing in this scene. There's no, it's just a bad scene altogether. The dialogue is terrible.
But it seemed like a real scene between two like idiots, you know?
I don't know, man.
I'll give you that. No, it does seem like a scene between two idiots. That's for sure. Meanwhile, back at Magneto Palace.
The worst scene, and I'm fucking putting this down, the worst scene in comic book movie history.
Wow.
And I know that that is a big statement. But the problem is, Magneto's in this weird little fucking device. Mm-hmm. And then
just being old.
And then we get the senator coming out. And then Magneto kind of says some things, and it's not clear at all
what the fuck
is happening. Yeah.
They want like, they don't want you to know yet.
Yeah.
But like... That's not good.
Well, before
nothing
that,
about
though,
that is good. Magneto kind of like hurts himself. It kind of seems.
This is the most Schumacher this movie gets, where it's like this. It was so reminiscent of like of Riddler in Batman Forever doing like the green rays to people.
This
was like that cheesy and that terrible.
Was there a scene before this when they were in his office though, and they had all those cool elements with metal? Because I did like that. Where the ball was going back and forth, and you're like, "Oh, that's cool." And then as he left, they all just fell down.
Yeah, I guess
like,
that's when Sabretooth comes in and confesses he didn't get him.
I didn't get
him. But he has the dog tags for Wolverine. And he puts those down.
Right.
And then, Magneto takes them, and then they try to leave, and he goes and grabs him again. And then I guess this is when they show up with the senator, put him in the metal chair.
Right.
I like when Magneto walks and drags the chair behind
that
him.
That's cool.
Magneto climbs into his little stupid fucking contraption where his magnetism is going to cause radiation and power this thing to spin fast enough
to turn this guy into a mutant.
To fucking change human genes,
Like, what the
Genome experiment? Thank you, David Hayter.
Oh, shit. That's where
But he does that giant white ball, like, comes out, like you're saying, really terrible effects of his face warping.
Really
you know
bad.
What I mean? Like, okay, whatever.
But we don't know at this point if it's actually done anything, right?
No.
And that's the one thing is I was expecting when I watched this the second time. I was like, oh, clearly he does something with his hand, and his hand like goes plastic for a second. And we know that it's actually affected him, but we don't get that payoff until a little bit later.
Personally, terrible effects, a stupid through line, I think. Well, a stupid execution. Mm-hmm. I like the idea that Magneto's just
I like
give,
the idea, yeah.
You're all going to be fucking mutants.
No,
yeah.
Great
like
idea.
That.
That's a crazy idea. Horrible execution. That's my problem.
But my thing is, I didn't mind it this time or when I originally watched it of not knowing what. Like, he just did something. What did he do? What's going to happen? And
Because
then it leads to the scene of
like,
them coming to confront him, right? And like, Senator Kelly, how are you feeling? Blah, blah, blah. And he's already put his face through the bar. He figured out he's like.
He's hanging on the side of the
like,
cliff.
He's like, well, yeah. But I skip it. He puts his face through the bar. And then, they come in and it's him and Sabretooth. Look down there. Senator Kelly's hanging there. Magneto fucking pushes the wall out because he got that magnet power. And then he's like, oh, you're one of us now. And like Sabretooth grabs him and tries to pull him up and he slides out and he falls. Yeah. And then he
so
closes
slippery.
The bars on Sabretooth.
I love that.
Sabretooth does the shittiest roar. It's just like a canned roar from whatever lion they saw. Great. I went to the fucking zoo one day with a beer and fucking shotgun mic'd a lion.
Yeah. You can hear a guy in the background going, hey, Timmy, come back here.
Don't put your head in the cage.
Wait, what do they do with the beer?
They're drinking the beer while they're fucking shotgun
That's what you do when you shotgun mic things, man. You're doing it wrong the entire time.
Yeah, you should
have
known, man.
Got it, right?
So, Magneto, he's not happy with this failure. Yet another failure, right? Then...
One would wonder why you'd pick Sabretooth and Toad.
Mystique
they're clearly doing everything right.
Toad was doing a great job. Every time he's going out, he's getting things done.
Sabretooth's a fucking idiot, apparently.
He's getting shocked left and right.
Sucks, dumb
throwing
shit,
out windows.
Dumb is this
shit.
When... Does it cut immediately to the beach scene?
No, I thought there was a little bit of time. So I'm just... one of the conversations at the X-Mansion to establish all this stuff with the X-Men. Is this where we
the
cut back?
Is it, yeah, is, it cuts yeah, back okay, to
yeah,
Rogue.
And, yeah, and Bobby's a dick to Rogue and is like,
no,
you're right. There it is. That's what we're skipping.
We missed the thing.
What we're skipping is Wooly's having a nightmare. He's having flashbacks to Stryker putting all the adamantium in him. He's underwater. He's doing this stuff. Rogue can't sleep. She hears Wolverine having a freak out up there. She goes up there to try to wake him, but she can't touch him, of course. She's like, Logan, trying to wake him up or whatever. And then he does, he wakes him, and he does the fucking claws right through or whatever.
Dope.
It's fucking awesome.
Very, yeah,
fucking
very dope. Intense scene. Yeah.
And he's like, help, help, help. And it's awesome. Yeah. Fucking rad scene. All these shitbag kids show up. They got no idea. Basketball boy's like, what can I do?
It didn't do anything.
The ball comes in, bops off Rogue's like,
lands in the trash.
Nobody's going to get there in time. So yeah, Rogue takes off her. Did she even have the glove? I forget. Takes off the glove, grabs Wolverine face, sucks off the regenerative healing.
What'd she suck off, Greg?
All the holes do it. A Wolverine collapses. Cyclops and Storm show up, right? And like, there you go. Yeah, okay, cool. Then we get the beach scene, we'll say.
With the Stan Lee cameo.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, as the hot dog.
Well, yeah, it was a different line.
Now, fun fact about Stan Lee that I did not realize. Stan Lee does not have a cameo in every X-Men movie. In fact, not many of them. Only has cameos in X-Men, X-Men The Last Stand, Apocalypse, and Deadpool 1. And Deadpool 2 has like that bullshit ass like mural of him on a building, but like not a proper cameo. He was asked to do a cameo for First Class, but he said the shooting was too far away, so he was like, no.
Yeah. Excelsior! So Senator Kelly bops up in the water, and he's like a jellyfish man for a second, and then he reforms, and he's just fucking stark-ass naked.
Did he have those gills in his back?
Yeah. That's part scary. Of, like, a fucking family. Like, I laugh so hard, because, like, these families are, like, on a beach having a party watching fucking 60 Minutes. Like, what are they doing? Why is that? Why is, like, this serious-ass news coverage on the TV?
Because a hot dog vendor or whoever wandered in his little hot dog hut. Yeah. And then, yeah, there's fucking Senator Kelly's dick swinging around. Do you want to do abs for Senator Kelly?
There were no abs for Senator
Kelly.
Okay,
so I don't know if you want. I don't know if that's there were no abs it's an NR.
I mean, if you would like to,
I'll just give you the shot.
Rank those abs right now.
Were they born in labs? Now it's time to rank those abs.
We see the beginning of abs in this movie, right? Hugh Jackman looks great with the shirt off, but not a tremendous amount of definition in either his shoulder muscles, biceps, triceps, or abs. So I'm unfortunately, and I'm sorry, Hugh, if you're watching this, but you'll rank higher later in the movies as you really get into your fitness regimen.
So the real thing is, rank those abs with this series. This is probably just going to be Wolverine at various states.
Yes.
And probably it's just going to be every movie.
Every movie gets better.
Last.
I mean, that's exactly what happens, right? You see him here, he looks like a babe, right? Smooth-edged. Just no sharpness to him whatsoever. By the time we get to Logan, his veins have veins and muscles on them. He's got that big, thick fucking vein that runs all the way down. Just fucking like, oh, put all the supplements in me at one time. And I think he earned it.
I will say that later on we do get the Wolverine Origins movie, but this is really the origins of the Hugh Jackman. Like, we're seeing something take place where it's like, this is where his body is growing and we're going to watch it evolve.
Yeah.
This is the origin story of it, really, of the abs. Yeah.
It is.
And I'm glad we witnessed it.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, Senator Kelly's jellyfish man, he comes out of the water. We jump back to the X-Mansion. Wolverine, again, has been comatose for a little bit. He's been on his booty. He got bopped down.
He knocks out easy in this movie.
Exactly. Yeah. But he's come back, too, because the regenerative health. Yeah. If she would have held on longer, she might have killed you. Okay, cool. Basketball boy is like fucking
sweet layup.
He threw a bounce pass at him.
But it turns out while all this is happening, this is when Mystique had shown up as Bobby Drake. And it was like, oh, you got to fuck. Professor X is pissed. You got to go. Whatever. So she ran away. Yeah, again. We'll say there again. Mm-hmm. And so then Wolverine comes out of it. They discover that she's ran away. We get our first dip into Cerebro, where we go down there, and Professor X goes in there. He can see every mutant, every human, whatever the fuck he wants to do.
I can't do it. It takes too much concentration.
He puts it on and uses Definer. She's at the train station.
Yeah.
He goes off. So then we send... it's gonna be Cyclops and whoever. Storm, they're gonna go. But Wolverine's like, I wanna go. Like, you can't fucking go. Wolverine's like, fuck you, I'll go and I'll somehow get out of here faster than you. Steals the motorcycle, takes
that
off.
That motorcycle, the CG from when he sped up.
Yeah, no,
holy
it's not good.
Shit.
Not good at all.
How do they fuck that? I feel like they could have just sped up regular film.
Well, but why does the motorcycle need a turbo on it? That's just weird.
It was like a
The highway was all like windy and turbo. You're fucking going up and down.
That's a terrible idea.
Wait, did they open the door and find the senator yet?
No, but we can do it right here if we want.
Yeah, like when does that happen?
Who cares? Whatever. The senator knocks on the door and guess what? There it is. It's the Senator Kelly and he's dripping wet. He's fucking ready for it. He wants it so bad.
That's another thing. What were his powers? Open. Like water. When he eventually, I know I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but he kind of dies.
Fish. Right? Turns into water, yeah.
But like.
I think it was that he was, I mean, his power would be being, not. I want to say liquidity. That's not what I mean. But you know what I mean? Being able, like how he pushed himself like through the bars.
Alex
like
Mack.
Alex Mack kind of thing. Yeah. I don't think he could ever do the Alex Mack's, I'm just water, but I feel more like he could do like Plastic Man kind of thing. But be
then
like
why
water.
Did he die?
Because the cells were breaking down. They weren't doing right. Yeah.
The thing, the actual.
Got it, okay.
Also, why did he have gills?
Why not?
Because, like, that just doesn't make sense for, like.
I don't know. Something's fishy about this.
So the senator goes down there and they put a bunch of electrodes.
He was a big fan of David Schwimmer.
He's down there. Meanwhile, the train station, Logan gets there and finds her first. She's on the train or whatever. He gets on there and he's talking to Rogan. Like, what do you say we give these guys one more chance? Well, right, it's all going to be fine. The train's rolling away. And then inside the train station, Cyclops and Storm are there. And they're like, oh, man, we got to look around and find it. And Storm's like, I'm a superhero. You know what I'll do is I'll go check with the station agent. Just one dude, see if he's seen this chick. All right, that's one way to do it. And she waits in line. And then she gets to be next in line, and Sabretooth stomps on in, fucking grabs her.
Like run up the wall behind.
Yeah.
So Sabretooth not at all trying to like hide or be disguised.
Zero subtlety.
No. Yeah, not at all.
In there, those 3-inch nails.
And so yeah, then Sabretooth grabs her. Scott tries to do something, but Toad hits off his fucking visor, and he shoots through the fucking roof. This gives Storm the chance to go fucking milky-eyed and bring in the rain and the thunder and the lightning and all that jazz. They're fighting there. Meanwhile, on the train with the cool people, the trains are going like, oh, fuck, we're on a train now, whatever. We'll just ride it out. Guess what? Train stops abruptly. It's Magneto, and he tears apart the ass of the train and starts coming in through it, and everybody's like, oh, my God.
I thought that was a dope scene.
Yeah, very good scene. Very good scene. And then, yeah, Logan stands up, and he's all like, ah, I'm going to get you, bub.
He's like, what do you want with me, bub? He's like, you?
Who said anything about you? But he does the thing. But did he already do it? Or he fucking crucifies him. He's like,
tell me, does that delicious metal run all the way through your body?
That was awesome.
You can see him just move the claws. And it's like, oh, that's got to hurt.
Yeah, it's like somebody lifting your fingernail.
Oh, I don't like that one bit. And then, who said anything about you?
This is one of those funny moments where Gia, no idea about any of these fucking things, origin stories. So it's all new to her.
Sure.
And so her watch is just like, wait a minute. So the main bad guy can control fucking metal, and one of the main good guys is just made of metal. I'm like, that's the
brilliance.
Yeah. And it's awesome.
Yeah. And if he takes his helmet off, the other guy can get into his head.
Yeah,
it's all sorts of cool
there
shit.
There you go, man.
It's all, and then,
Charmander, Squirtle, Bulbasaur.
Exactly.
Well, what does Xavier do to Wolverine?
You don't want to know.
Same thing. His head.
Touchy.
Oh, shit.
He throws Wolverine down. He goes dun, 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 through all the doorways and shit. Very cool. Very cool.
Arms, like, because he was crucified, right?
Bam, bam, bam,
and his arms
doors,
like
yeah.
smack and hit in, and it's just like, oh god, that looked painful.
Very bad, very bad, very bad. Magneto gets his hands on Rogue, then gonna take her out there. We go back into the train station or whatever. I don't know. They're still fighting, but for some reason now they're both incapacitated. Storm and Cyclops are incapacitated.
Yeah.
Magneto with no Magneto.
Toad.
Yeah, Sabretooth and Mystique, or no? Where's
and
Mystique?
Rogue. No, Rogue. Mystique wasn't there.
They leave. Sabretooth's got Rogue slung over her shoulder. Charles is there, though. He gets in everybody's head. Sabretooth grabs Magneto, and the cops are all there. Cops have surrounded the place.
Best scene in the fucking movie.
Really? Good scene.
The cop scene?
Great
guns
scene.
And stuff? Oh,
yeah.
I definitely think so.
Yeah.
I think
pulling all the guns, turning him.
Yeah, and
that
eventually
not being
hearing
enough.
The gunshot and all that. Like, I feel like they did that. They built it so well. Having Sabretooth grab him, there's that moment where like, wait, what's happening?
Yeah.
It's like, is Sabretooth like having a change of heart or some shit? And it's like, oh no. Then I just feel like it was the best example of Magneto and Professor X both using their powers.
Mm-hmm.
But then that one guy with a bullet against his head, just move your head back.
Well, you
I'm
move.
Sure the bullet would have gone back with him. Like, there was constant pressure, you know?
He flips all the guns around. He's like, hey, you can stop me, Charles. Which can you stop them all? I don't even know if I can. And he fucking everything cocks and everybody's pointing at their guns or whatever. And then, one bullet is just burning in the dude's head. Finally, Professor X relents and gives Sabretooth and Toad back control. They all get on their little plane and fly away. We're back to the X.
Oh, that's where Mystique was, right? She was flying the plane.
No, I don't think so, because I think this is when Mystique had, as Bobby had infiltrated and fucked with Cerebro.
Oh, yeah.
And I probably jumped around a little bit.
She became Wolverine to... No, she stayed as Bobby.
She went all the way down there, changed herself into Charles Xavier's eye, got in there, put a blue tube in there or whatever to fuck with Cerebro.
Man, did they just forget red mark on the guy's forehead? Like, they're clearly really zoomed in on this man. And he's like, oh shit, that fucking kind of hurt or whatever. But
he screams in a way that's like, oh god.
There's just nothing.
They have it for half a second, and then when you go back to it, it's gone.
Probably some PG-13 bullshit.
Yeah.
So doesn't matter. They're gone. We'll fucking track them through Cerebro. Charles Xavier goes in his little Cerebro pod, puts on, they fucking spiked my drink. They spiked my drink, everybody. He's down. He's in a coma because comas just happen left and right.
Left and right, dude. It's X-Men.
They immediately figure out what was wrong with Cerebro. Somebody plugged in this thing. They unplug it. Everything.
Oh, it was unplugged.
Liquid clears. Everything's great. They're ready to do their, what's the plan going to be? They're figuring it out still and how's it going to happen, right? And then they start piecing together that people are going to be out at Liberty Island and doing all this shit and like, okay, cool, it's the fucking UN or whoever, the Peace Council bullshit. For some reason, Jean's like, I got to go do it. I got to go do Cerebro now. She goes down there. It's too much for her, but she gets a bead on where they're going to be. Figures out the plan. I guess this is where she figures out the plan.
Yeah, I think that's how
they went. Time to suit up. We all got to go to Liberty Island and do this shit.
This is where I was zoning out.
Me too. Sure. I took a little bit of a nap.
At what point do you think Professor X made the costume for Wolverine? Do you think that was
there? It was supposed to be a backup, I think.
I think they have a bunch of like medium, large. Like,
but his had the. Oh, so okay. So they. Yeah. So that was just a costume that just became his look.
There was a tag on it that said for a wolf like hero in
got
the future.
Because I was like, why would there be differences in these costumes unless they were made for exactly the specific people?
Yeah.
Do you think that there is another mutant kid in the school called Costume Boy?
Sure.
And when he's called upon.
The seamstress.
It just goes, ooh. And like, basketball boy's like, you did a great job.
Wearing like a leather basketball jersey.
Yeah, man. Give me that leather outfit.
Their X-Jet has something, some name, right?
The Quinjet.
No, that's.
It's Night Stalker. Right?
Is it the X-Jet?
That's a cool name.
Are you wearing the XFL shirt on purpose?
That's shit. Really fucking
smart. I'm wearing because XFL's back, baby. 2020. You who can wait? But then, of course, X.
Yeah. You guy.
Come on,
X. It's a good Easter egg for you right there. We do the X-Men in review, where we review the show and do
the Blackbird.
Blackbird, all right. They get in there. That's also where we get the thing. Jet. Where Wolverine makes fun of the outfit and he's like, "What do you, you know, what you want? Yellow spandex." Everyone in the theater's like, "Yeah,
we did."
Didn't make sense at all for.
Yeah.
Like, it's just to say very specific.
Why yellow spandex?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it was a joke just
now.
No,
I know, but it's an inside joke.
He looked at the camera and he winked, and then Jim Halpert looked and was like,
I was like, you'll get this joke in another decade. They fly over to Liberty Island. They're going to come in on an approach. This is where you kind of get to see some of them use their powers together, like, Storm, give us cover, and yada, yada, yada. And they come, all right, cool. Fog, man, that makes sense. That's good. They fly in low and they get there, right? They walk into the Statue of Liberty's base and they walk by Mystique as the Statue of Liberty.
So bad, man.
It was like, all right, that's a weird. She can be inanimate objects. Why not? All right, cool. Sure. And again, the movie just here's where we're just going to do just terrible fight
shit
scenes.
The bed, man.
Yeah, this is just bad fight scenes all over this.
When they show them run up the stairs for so long, I was like, why? They could have just cut that out.
Yeah, I mean, you know what I mean? Pretty much everything from this point on,
not good. No.
You know, we're skipping obviously ahead, but including the fact that when they all get together and they finally have to work together as a team, it's just dumb. Yeah. Like, okay, well, he's going to go up there and you're going to steady him. And she's gonna blow him up there.
A lot of it is like
it was just fucking
a lot
weird.
Of it. A lot of it is these weird. What were we talking about earlier? Where they're
mutations.
Like wired in
the wire work.
Oh yeah,
the wire work. Where like it's a weird, like really slow moving kick, and then it's a cut to somebody jumping back as if they were hit by that kick, and it just looks like dog shit, man. Well, I could not believe how
I appreciated when Wolverine was like, "We're not alone in here."
That was cool.
Yeah. I liked the moving cup of Mystique, right? Where they, like. Who's who? You don't know who the real person is. When it didn't make any sense for me. Like, of course, she gets stabbed, obviously, jumping ahead, right? And when she's acting like Storm, and that's great. One problem, you're not her. So that was cool. Very cool, right? And she goes, oh, everybody's everybody. Okay, cool. You got stabbed in the gut, and you went down, and now you got the holes in your gut. I got that. That's cool. I understand you're hurt. when Wolverine chopped off your claws,
yeah, what were those?
Weren't those you as well? Like, shouldn't you have a huge gash when you go like, back?
Or missing
that,
an arm or a hand?
You're moving?
Yeah. What's weird to me is that, like, I don't... It's weird to me that she even has Wolverine's claws.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was the thing. Yeah. I think it's... I might be wrong, but do they go
claw at some point? Yeah.
It's like, well, you're not real adamantium, right? Like, this is what you're talking about. How does she climb up walls? How does she do this? Like... I would assume, yeah.
I mean, she's replicating different fabrics and stuff, and if she was doing...
But it's fake, right? Because why not? I'm going to fabricate my entire body out of adamantium. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That character was very poorly defined.
I've never heard good explanations on how Mystique's skin works.
Unlike Toad, who I feel like is the sleeper hit of this entire movie, right?
That's when he does the Darth Maul spin stuff. Yeah, like, if you didn't know, I'm Ray Park.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I love that he does do that little slight homage to like, hey, you know, I'm Darth Maul, so everyone knows this. And he kicks her down the elevator shaft. And then we get, I thought it was a cool scene with Storm where like she comes up the elevator shaft and her eyes are glowing and shit starts going. And then she says... What has to be the best written line ever. No. Just the best. What happened? You know what happens with Toad when he's electrified? He's like, oh. Because I can't talk because I'm fucking tethered.
He's using the tongue to tether.
She's like the same thing that happens to everything else. Well, which is not true because different substances react differently to electricity. Just want everyone to know that.
That is a solid
fucking
point.
Do your
very different.
They die is what she meant.
That's fair.
Yeah.
When this scene like was sad for me because I was like, oh, right, I forgot. Storm can fly, which is something that...
She comes up later. She can't fly. That was her thing when she. I think he says, "Why don't you fly up there?" She's like, "It doesn't work like that."
How does it work?
I can't control it.
Does it only work in elevator shafts?
I think it was a contained area where she could make air underneath her. I'm not justifying, like, you know, whatever, but I don't
know. It's annoying.
Anyways, yeah, they run up to the thing because, of course, this is all going to be done in the fucking torch of the Statue of Liberty. Yeah. Weird choice, whatever, but you're all for theatrics, Magneto. I'll give it to you.
Theatrical?
You know, exactly.
I got to say, this next moment, I thought it made Magneto look very powerful. There's that hole. And they all get up there and like, I guess let's stand here till something. Oh, Magneto came out and he just beat everyone.
Well, I appreciate when he gets up there and Wolverine's like, you got to run. And they're like, why? He's like, I can't move. That's cool. Yeah. That's really cool. Yeah. But yeah, Magneto comes down, throws them all on the sides of the Statue of Liberty head. All right. Whatever. Yeah, aim Cyclops Wolverine's at him. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
And that's the thing, too. Like, I'm going to aim your claws into your chest. I'm like, he can fucking heal.
Why would him stabbing himself make it so the magnetism stopped?
Well, I think the idea was, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that magnetism. I'm stupid. Sorry.
Okay.
We'll go to science with Kev later. I think that's not what's holding them there anymore. I think that he did this, wrapped them up in steel, and then he's like, "Cool, I'm gonna bounce and let Rogue touch me and take my power."
She's gonna take the power, and he won't be able to.
How did stabbing him? Like, do you think he stabbed himself with enough force that his claws?
Went all the way through and pushed off the wall?
No, but, well, I mean, like, what they show is that, and don't get me wrong, it's shitty, but it goes all the way through, and then there's straps behind him of metal.
So he cuts those,
and he falls from the wall because nothing's holding him
up
anymore.
Now, one could also argue that a better strategy implemented by Magneto would just be to kill all these people.
Sure.
Just fucking kill them. But why would you? You killed
he didn't
all
kill
these
mutants.
Other people.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I'm not. He's. I kind of understand Magneto.
But he was willing.
It's our world inherit. I don't want to kill my mutant brothers.
Except for Rogue, who he was willing to let die.
A sacrifice had to be made.
This is a classic "you caught me monologuing" moment, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, why am I leaving you guys alive? It makes no sense. Well, because of course it's a movie and you guys have to win at the end.
Well, that's the whole thing too, is even like jumping ahead too, where he gives Rogue the powers and she grabs on. I'm like, what forced her to grab on? Did he give her like some implant thought that she had to grab too, where she doesn't understand how to use
it? The powers were new to her and like kind of just going haywire.
I hear you, but that's a pretty big risk for him to take. What if it was the opposite of like, all right, now fuck, you can control it. She's like, I'm not going to touch it.
It's not that hard for me.
Doesn't matter. Sabretooth's there. He wants a shot at Wolverine because Wolverine got out. They just go, they fight on top of the Statue of Liberty. And again, really bad effects.
This is where the hay ball would not finish
the worst effect I've ever seen.
When he cuts around the
and it just goes into that like really, really shitty CGI Wolverine for like way too long.
Yeah.
I didn't understand the part where he jumps at Sabretooth with both of his fists but doesn't like impale him with the fucking claws. Like
I think he does.
Yeah.
But
I think
he cuts him.
Sabretooth have been
Sabretooth has the same regenerative powers.
Yeah. Sabretooth has the exact same power.
I mean, those are like six blades in his shoulders.
Yeah, but then see, that's the problem is they don't set up anything about Sabretooth. You have no idea who he is. You have no idea if he has the deep history with Wolverine or not.
Yeah.
He's not recognizing Wolverine at all, so you think maybe no, but then later in movies, it's clear
Which
that he has
this wild,
amazing
rivalry.
So like, yeah, we don't really know anything about Sabretooth, but he's supposed to have the same level of power as Wolverine.
He's the better Wolverine, but Wolverine has the adamantium, which makes him better.
Which makes him better.
Yeah.
I just feel like he recovered really quick.
Yeah, I hear you. Whatever. Sabretooth gets killed or whatever. I don't even remember who the fuck
he cares. Falls into a boat.
Right.
Yeah, and it's like, is he dead? Will we see him again? No, you won't see him again.
This is because down there they were all working together where Jean brought over Scott's visor. Oh, that's what happens, right? Scott's visor and angled it. Yeah. And then he's like, open your eyes. I don't want to go. Yeah, open your eyes. And he opens his eyes, fucking blasts Sabretooth away into the boat, like you said. Good call. Then they all get down. Then it's like we were talking about them working together to get up there, where it's, we can't just fly up there, so we'll send Logan up there. Gene, you steady him. When you get to where you can, if you can't stop the device, I'll blow up the device or whatever, and you might kill everybody, but whatever, I'm Cyclops. He gets up there. Logan does. Lands fine. Rogue is in the thing screaming. She's got the white hair now. That's cool.
It's cool. Yeah,
right. But Magneto one of those things still where it's has like, a little power.
We didn't need the origin story of her hair.
I thought it was cool. We're like, oh, okay.
Also,
there's something I connect to.
Such,
why?
It gives us such a great line in X2.
I don't remember.
It's Mystique and Magneto on the plane together, and they laugh. And Magneto's like, we were just saying we love what you've done with your hair.
Oh.
That's a good one. Fucking
assholes. Dick thing to say.
Yeah, of course.
Assholes.
Anyways, Logan's stuck up there in the magnetic field. Again, we see his like claws moving around. Like, ooh, that's got to sting.
No, but like Magneto still has a little bit of power.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
As he goes to slice the...
and he's like bringing them. He's moving the blades around and all this shit.
He's like, not this time, bud.
And the Cyclops like, I got a shot. I'm going to take it. And he finally shoots and does the thing blue. Why don't we just do this to begin with? By the way, the whole fucking thing had been expanding, getting ready to touch the normal humies over there.
The other
horrible effect.
20 people on that island that apparently were good.
They were like
going to really make a difference.
They were all world leaders. Yeah,
but that was really, whatever.
Well, no, the plan was a good plan.
But it
plan.
Wasn't the president. You know, it was
no,
a bunch
it was
of people
the
in
president.
The UN. It was the president.
Yeah, the president. That. Yeah, he's giving the speech.
No.
When it starts, weren't they like the president of the United States?
I don't think, I just know.
The guy giving the speeches has a heavy accent from somewhere.
I just don't remember how they
I'm
defined
sorry.
It.
He was thanking the president of the United
there
States.
There you go.
But I didn't know if it was like, I mean, I don't know. It just didn't seem like it was.
Doesn't matter. There are a bunch of important people over there. But guess what? The day is saved by the X-Men. And so, then we're into all of our epilogues, whatever. Thank you. That person, happy the X-Men saved the day.
Ooh,
then we're into all of our epilogues here, right? Rogue is enjoying the school just fine. She's got the hair. He's excited. Rogue's enjoying the school, hanging out with Bobby, playing the foosball. They're all having a good time over there.
The foosball.
Sexual tension.
Logan's, I'm glad she catches him out to leave.
The dad's watching.
Because, of course.
Check it off towards Rogue's the wall.
Professor X is giving Logan the information about an abandoned facility up in Alberta, Canada, or whatever you should go check out. So he's going to go check into that. He gives Rogue his dog tags because it means so much to me. I'll definitely be back for this shit. Professor X goes check in on Magneto. They're playing chess over there in his plastic prison. Awesome. It'll be way better
so
next two.
Good.
It'll be way better next two, but still awesome. Magneto's still not feeling it. They're going to disappoint you. They're going to come for all of us. Like, blah, blah. This plastic prison won't hold me forever. And Xavier's like, but we'll be there to stop you because we're the fucking X-Men. And he like cross chops and rolls out.
Man, he's got that great. He actually has the best line of the whole movie in this, right? Where it's the great, great swell of pity line. Where he's like, what will you do, Charles, when they come for you in the night? He goes, I feel a great swell of pity for anyone coming to my school looking for trouble.
Yeah.
And then rolls the fuck out. Just goes
dude.
They're just
Professor X, man. It just rolls out.
Which is dope.
Oh, Tony.
And also, surprisingly foreshadowing of the next movie. Weird how they did that.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And so, then Wolverine climbs on the bike and hits the turbo button. He's fucking terrible effects as he goes. Yeah. And then we got credits.
We got credits
right
credits,
there.
Man. Directed by Bryan Singer.
Morph.
Yeah.
That was a good
one.
That was it. That was
it.
You know what
I'm really happy about?
What?
An hour 40 minutes. Like,
the movie?
When I was like, this is the length of movies that I want so much,
We did a topic on GOG one time about that.
Great, dude.
Yeah.
No, I'm fine with a long movie.
But when they're good. I'm happy
with
MCU. Give me 2.5. Give me 3. Fuck it.
That's exactly.
I dare you.
I had forgotten about it because we had the Memorial Day off. Well, at least I did. Well,
me too.
Not really, but
me too.
You know what I mean. And I'd... I'd lost track of the day. So I was like, when are we recording this? Oh, on Wednesday? Oh, I was like, fuck no. I have to do it tonight because tomorrow's the comedy thing. Mm-hmm. It's already 9:30. Shit. And you know, I was out by like, 10 something or whatever.
There you go, man.
Yeah. Felt great, yeah, dude. I was really happy about
it.
I'm
glad, Andy. So you guys know what time it is, right? It's time for Ragu Bagu.
Ragu. Bagu.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the podcast within a podcast. Rad guys talk bad guys. Of course, follow us on Twitter at Ragu Bagu Vids. If you'd like to run the Twitter account, we have new breaking information that I came up with on my way to work today. We'll talk about that at the end of this podcast.
Oh, boy.
The podcast within the podcast, not the real podcast. What we do here, of course, is rank all the bad guys. We originally started with the MCU universe. But then, of course, we just said it's Ragu Bagu, a breakout podcast within a podcast, is the breakout hit of the MCU in review that it's got to stick around for X-Men in review. So we'll just keep all the villains here. We're just keeping them all in one big bucket, and we're still
ranking
them.
Seems like it's going to be a bad
idea. So let me update you on the rankings. At number 20, we have these fucks from Thor. 19 is Abomination. Number 18, Ronan from Guardians. I'm just reading my notes verbatim now. If you can't keep
Thor 2.
If you can't keep up with the notes, Tim, that's on you.
Did he not say Thor 2?
No, he said these fucks from Thor.
If you can't keep up with the list, Tim, it's on you. All right,
Greg, I'm afraid you made a mistake.
I can't.
You have to.
Ronan from Guardians at 18. Number 17, Cross from Ant-Man. Number 16, Loki from Thor. Number 15, Obadiah Stane. Number 14, Mandarin / Aldrich. Number 13, The Vision from Solo. Number 12, Mask / Dormammu. Number 11, Rockwell / Mickey. Number 10, Red Skull. Number 9, Ultron. Number 8, Hydra from Captain America Winter Soldier. Number 7, Ego from Guardians 2. Number 6, Hell. Number 6, Hell / Grand Mast from Thor Rag. Number 5, Loki from Avengers. Number 4, Bacon Guy from Civil War. Number 3, Michael B. Jordan from BP. Number 2, The Vulture. Number 1, Thanos, AIW.
Wait, what about the Deadpool 2?
You guys didn't do it because you're a bunch of pussies. And I wasn't here.
I wasn't here either.
I told you there was no structure.
Anyways, Andy, where do you want to rank Magneto in the Brotherhood of Mutants?
High, man. You got to put him up high. He had great motivation. You know what I mean?
Here's the problem I have. I just blew a burp here. Be careful. The problem I have is Magneto, awesome. Mm-hmm. The Brotherhood.
Well, Mystique was part of the Brotherhood, and she was
Mystique
dope.
Mystique sucked.
I feel like, stop,
I liked her performance.
You sound dumb.
I feel like you got to rank Magneto very high on this list.
But they're a package deal.
Here's my thing.
That's why we put
him out. Just take him out. Take him out of the package.
You need to keep in mind that there's going to be a lot more Magneto as a bad guy in other movies.
Yeah, but this is where he's best.
This is where he's best?
I feel
old man, sad, brokenhearted.
He might not be wrong because he's not the villain next time around. In X2. Yeah. X3, he is. And X3 is fucking garbage.
Garbage.
But I feel I like Magneto in X3.
There's a lot of things I dislike about it.
I blocked out a lot of
the villain in the second one, right? Isn't Stryker the villain?
Yeah. Stryker. Yeah.
And then we have to make a distinction between Ian McKellen and Michael Fassbender.
Yeah. Sure.
Because Fassbender.
But also, Fassbender's not the villain until.
Not the villain until.
The third one of those?
No, Days of Future Past.
Is he the villain? Oh, yeah.
I feel like this is. I think they. I think
I'd say.
No. I think it brings it down.
Top three, at least.
I think the combination brings it down.
I think it'd be number 5.
Take him out. Out of the package. Take him out of the package.
Above Ego from Guardians 2.
So you're thinking number 6.
Number 6.
Over Hela?
No, he's saying...
Above Ego.
No, I'm sorry. Number 7.
So number 7.
Well,
yeah, below
the Grandmaster was so good.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true.
He was good.
I'd say you put him at number 6, man.
See, for me, I feel like he's down. He's around 11.
Whoa.
I think he's below Rockwell Mickey. I enjoyed them so much more as a tag team duo, you know?
I agree.
Put him at 12 right there.
Sure, let's do it. I'm down. Right, cool. I don't give a fuck.
You're a monster.
So number 12 now, and I'm not going to read them every time anymore, guys. So you have to keep up with everything. Tim, it's what's on the list. Number 12 is now Magneto. Yeah, I'm going to say it every time.
Okay, cool.
/ actually, Brotherhood. We'll all remember what that means, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Number 12, Magneto and Brotherhood. Now here's what I'd like to say. I have an exciting offer for everyone at home. As you know, for about 13 weeks now, we've been trying to get you to go to patreon.com/kindoffunny if you like this show and support it. And go there, of course. And for the low price, I think we said $1,000 or whatever it was, you could run the Ragu Bagu Vids Twitter account for It's been ranging. It's been a range, right? But we understand the open market. We understand the invisible hand.
I'm tweeting right now, man.
We understand the invisible hand that hasn't sold anybody. So here's what we're going to do. And I've gotten approval from no one here. I'm looking Tim in the eye because I know he'll be the only person who cares at all. All right. What we're going to do is lower the tier, but stick with me. I guess we're technically erasing the tier we currently have. And what we're doing on patreon.com/kindoffunny is we're putting a $69 tier there where you can tweet once from the Ragu Bagu Vids account. Yeah. Again, this is subject to Joey Noel's approval. So don't be coming in here. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a giant fucking photo of my dick or something. All right.
I like this.
So for $69, you can put a tweet up on the Ragu Bagu Vids account if it's approved by Joey. I hurt my arm. Guys, I don't have to do
it. If it's not approved. Yeah. They can get their money back, or
no? You fucking come up with a tweet that isn't about eating somebody's ass. Well, actually, that we might approve.
Eating ass,
that
we might approve.
I don't know. We eat ass.
So there you go. I'm gonna address that one after the show, and we'll be all set.
I really like that. That's a good point.
And of course, if that might actually work. Remember, it's a $69 donation for a month's worth of content. You would get all the kind of funny vids. So you get it's kind of funny Prime. So you get early access to the GOG episodes and his video MP3. You would get when we do seasonal content, which I won't spoil. It's coming up eventually soon, right?
Still working on it.
Yeah, all right, cool. You'd get early access to that, all the other stuff. Greg's comic book show. You'd be able to ask comic book questions on the Greg's comic book show, which is a $15 tier. I'm forgetting other tiers off the top of my head, but there's other stuff you can do.
A lot of fun stuff.
A lot of people that watched the GOG this week that's going out early on Friday, they say it's good.
We've been on fire lately.
Yeah.
It's true.
And the ones that were just us, the Anna Sale one was great. And then the one we just did that starts off about how nervous Kevin is and then ends with an ejaculating bear is pretty great too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So much.
To be fair, it was still a man with a bear helmet on.
I've heard it both ways.
It's all
bears
real.
Bears ejaculate, Kevin.
So let's rank it.
Number one. Number one.
Cool guy, bring up the list as it stands.
We don't have.
That's a joke, everybody. I'm aware. It's episode one of X-Men in Review.
So it is number one. We'll see where
it's not going to stay there for long.
X2 is going to totally fucking take it.
So here's the thing. Next week's movie, X2. I stand by this movie. X2, good movie.
Bold.
X2. Remember that part? X2, a movie I haven't seen for 20 years. Wait, no, so we'll fucking see if I stand by that shit.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel?
I'm very nervous about it. At all.
Yeah. Oh, no. Undoubtedly, X2 is way better than this one.
Way better than this, but is it still good?
It's better than this. It's definitely better than X3.
It's better than X3.
For sure. Yeah. Not even close.
X3, I fucking hated, and I haven't watched since theaters. I'm interested to see what that'll turn out.
See, my thing is, I don't think any of these movies are actually good. I think the series gets good right when Matt Vaughn takes it over.
First Class
is the first time, because everyone was like, oh, we have a language for this now. We have an understanding of this, and that movie really worked for me.
But see, X2, for me, I remember being, and again, I was a dumb kid, but I was like, they fucking did a good job with this.
They did a good job.
But I think the problem is you were a dumb kid.
Well, no, but they upped the action as well. There was a lot more, it was a lot more fun. There's a lot more cool stuff to see.
Darker story, too.
Way darker story. All the stuff I was going to say Botany Bay, but Alkali Lake. Mm-hmm. All that stuff's awesome.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah.
We'll see next week. Mm-hmm. You should subscribe to youtube.com/kindoffunny so you do not miss this every Thursday, 9 a.m. or podcast services. Just look for Kind of Funny Reviews. Until next time.
Experiment with your brother or sister.
What?
Jesus fucking Christ.
Do something
Have an excellent day.
We'll work on that.
Have an excellent day. Sure.